Hello and welcome. I've been meaning to create this episode for a while, and I've created some episodes previously about AI, but I wanted to give my thoughts after really having some time with some of these new quote-unquote AI tools, where specifically image generation tools. I'd like to talk about that. But this does relate to these other supposed AI tools. The first thing I do want to say is that AI is just a buzzword. AI does not exist. There is no such thing as AI, as artificial intelligence. It's really a marketing term. It's a buzzword. We've actually been using the term AI for many years. Like, for example, if you played a video game, decade or more ago, and you're playing a single player game, and let's say you're playing a football game, and you're just controlling one of the characters, but the other players on the field are all doing certain things, right? They're running around, they're tackling people, they're blocking, they're doing all the other stuff. That was called AI. Like they even sort of still use that term. Like if whenever you have other characters in a video game that are doing something, that's a thing that they've called AI. So the AI has taken a lot of terms over the years. Specifically though, this new generation of what we call AI is really the reason we call it AI, I think partially is because the technical terms behind what's actually happening are difficult to remember. Right, there's a reason that the one thing's called Chat GPT. The GPT part is actually what it is. It's like general pretext transformers, I believe it's the technical term. I could be even wrong with that, but it's like that, even my, like, even though I've gone through a lot of this stuff from a technical perspective, the fact that I still struggle to like remember these terms is why people just call it AI. It's just a blanket term, but that's not actually what it is. We also have these things called LLMs, which are large language models. This is more of like the chat side of things. It's just a way of taking in a lot of text from a lot of different sources. And then when you can sort of, instead of doing a Google search, you have this sort of chat experience with this system, and it generates a response based on that. So it annoys me a bit when we talk about AI, because we don't really have AI. AI doesn't really exist. We don't have like artificial intelligence. That's not a thing. That's not a real thing. There is a company that's trying to create that, and funny enough, John Carmack is leading that team, and he's a guy who actually created a video game called Wolfenstein 3D back in the day. Previous to that, he created a game called Commander Keen. And I think they actually use the name Keen somewhere in this new company that he's formed to try to create. They call it something like general intelligence, something general intelligence. So anyway, he was a video game guy, very a software developer. Started young, knows a lot of low-level coding, and was able to solve a lot of issues. Basically, he was the one guy that created the first seemingly 3D game. So if you played, there was games even before Wolfenstein, but Wolfenstein was really the first like real mainstream game that appeared to be 3D on a computer screen, even though it wasn't actually 3D. It was really just a optical illusion essentially. And but sold a lot of copies, really compelling. And he's solved these type of issues. Like even before he moved to, even before they started their own company, when he was working for this other company, which is how he met some of his friends that they ended up making Wolfenstein and Doom together. He actually made a version of Super Mario Brothers that played on PC. So before that, like, side scrolling wasn't a thing in games. Like, it's something you could not do on PC. You couldn't have side scrolling games on PC for whatever reason. And so apparently John Carmack basically solved that issue. They created a demo of Super Mario Brothers running on a PC, and I think they actually even approached Nintendo at one point to try to do it, but they turned it down for some reason. Anyway, he went on to create a bunch of other really successful video games. I mean, Doom was basically a massive success. And he eventually moved on to other projects. He did some rocket science stuff. And he also was hired on by Facebook, now Meta, to basically head up their virtual reality division. So he created a lot of the technology that goes into these, if you get a Meta Quest headset or whatever. John Carmack has a hand in that stuff. He eventually left Facebook though, because he basically, I think it was just a lot of like bureaucracy that he was up against. He was trying to make the right technical changes, but getting a lot of pushback from the, I guess, the rest of the team, or the way that the organization was structured, that it was just sort of slowing down the development of this VR technology that Facebook Meta has created. And now that's it. Now this is his new thing. So if you want to look into like actual what we would really call AI, which does not exist yet, Carmack and another, I guess, university guy, did start a company, and are attempting to do that type of thing. They have a sort of theories on it. And we'll see what they come up with. But what we have now is not, I just want to iterate that it's just not artificial intelligence. It's just not a thing. It's just, as much as the news and podcasts and, just society will talk to you about AI, it's not really a thing. But, like, what else do you call the, what the players on an old school football game do, or new football game do, like if you're playing a single player game, like what do you call that? There's probably a more technical term for it, but AI is just an easier way to explain things, which is the same thing that's happening now. It's just easy way to explain things. So, and we're getting closer towards, like, I suppose with these sort of text applications, we're getting closer to something that appears to have intelligence, and more of like a Turing test sort of situation where it doesn't matter. Like, you're telling the people know that it's a computer, but it feels like it's real. Like, it feels like it's intelligent, and you can fool some people enough to a point with some of this technology that they think that they're talking to something intelligent, but that's really not what's happening at all. And I don't think we're really, that's just some initial things I wanted to say about it. But what I want to say is my thoughts about AI now that I've had some, and even I just did it, right? My thoughts on these newer technologies, particularly the image generation tools, which is basically like you can put a text prompt into a piece of software and it'll generate an image for you. That is, I mean, this goes along with the large language models, the chat bot things. It's very similar, but where there's shared similarities, or this is the same concept applies, and I'm going to discuss. And the concept I'm going to discuss is this. In my view, and this may be a controversial statement, it's maybe not a controversial statement. It kind of depends on where you sit on the spectrum of this issue and how you are affected by it. So here's the statement. AI, as we know it, this modern AI stuff, is theft. And then I would put like dot 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 mostly. So the reason that this is, it's obviously a gray area in certain aspects, but I think the only reason that it's gray is we just, it's more of like a loophole. Like we just didn't expect this type of technology, so we don't have laws yet to address these issues in a common sense way. And I think there's a really common sense way to address these issues where we can still utilize the technology, but not the way that most of the technology is currently being utilized. And I think this will work itself out in court over time, but it's just going to take some time, and it's a little bit of annoying. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of people who have been frustrated, annoyed, potentially harmed financially or in other ways by this technology, but not the technology itself necessarily, but how the technology has been implemented is what is potentially the theft piece. So I'm going to talk about this about the image generation side so that I can give like the clearest case of why I think this is true. But I also want to say that the underlying technologies are very potentially useful and will be around with us for you know, they're just going to be with us. So large language models, general pretext transformers, these things are going to be with us, like these new ways of creating images and things. They're not going to go, the underlying technology is not going to go away, but what the problem is, and the reason I call it theft mostly is if you utilize a service, a lot of people have used something called Midjourney, which is one of the more, I guess, popular initial image generation tools. And they'll type in something, you know, whatever it is, and it just pops out an image, and it's like, wow, this is really cool. And the first time that you see this happen, it is mind-blowing. It's like, wow, like it's just so weird that it works and it's real and it's like it's creating images. It's like a shocking initial experience. It's like a magical experience for anybody who is experiencing this technology for the first time. You know, you can create it, you can literally type out a bunch of keywords and then it'll create an image that's better than most people could create on their own, is amazing. And so I will say like, so I had that experience, right? I had that initial experience and was just blown away by it. But then when I looked into it more, so the thing about Midjourney is it's a company that's online. It's basically like a website, if you will. I mean, I'm just oversimplifying things here. It's, you know, where you go to it and you type in these prompts and it generates it back for you. That's sort of how it works. But so you don't see any of the back, like how things are working. You know, you don't get a chance to like see how the stuff works. You just type in words and it gives you an image. Like that's it. But there's another technology that I mean, it's basically the same type of technology, but it's something that you can download for yourself on your own computer. And there's something called Stable Diffusion, which is an application that runs on your computer, and that you can do the same thing with. You type in keywords, you put in some settings, and it generates images. So it's the same type of technology, except it's on your own computer, and you get a chance to see a little bit more about how it works. And this is where these like theft in quotes comes in, which is in order to generate any of these images, of course, like it's not just the keyword. Like if it was just keywords that you had and it magically created an image, like that would be a thing, but that's not how it works. It needs what they call a model. And a model is basically just this, I don't know how to describe it. You take a collection of images and you go through this process called training, and then it generates a file that it's called a model. And so you take that model, and then the keywords that you type look at the model and generate an image based on the model. The model is where the actual, the meat of this process actually resides. So in order to create images, in order to create a new image, you need to train a model on existing images. You cannot, there is no technology that I am aware of that creates images just based on text alone. That is not how this technology actually works. So, for example, if you wanted to create a text prompt, you know, you wanted to type in like car, like red car, with like, you know, I don't know, two doors and a sunroof or whatever. Like, in order for that to generate an image that looks anything like a car that's red, that has two doors and a sunroof, it needs to, the model itself needed to have been trained on many images of cars, right? And other things, two colors, whatever, but like car, it needed to be able to see a bunch of cars to be able to generate a car. And this is where that theft, in quotes, comes in. So the, like, literally, this is how the technology works. Okay, these companies went out on the internet, and we're just talking about the images piece. They grabbed a bunch of images. Now, I say a bunch, I mean like an unbelievable amount of images from the internet. And also on the chat side, they just like basically crawled the whole internet and just grabbed everything they could get their hands on, copyrighted or not. And they just put it into these big models so that when you type things in, or, you know, you can either get text back or image back that resembles what you typed, right? So the gray area, it's not even, this part to me isn't very gray, but it's, I think from a technical perspective or legal perspective, it's, I guess it's sort of gray in some ways. The, like on the image side, these companies, and this is not necessarily the Stables Diffusion side, but this is just generally about these image creation tools. They went in, there's websites where people host images. Like if you're an artist and you create art, you can upload it to a website and then users can like your art. Maybe you have a link to your online store. They can buy your art. You know, as a way to showcase your art and get customers and get feedback and that sort of thing. And these type of websites, just like anything, have like these terms of service. And most of these artists had no, I mean, this technology has kind of blindsided most people. So these artists, like if they hosted their, they uploaded their art to a certain website, that website may have updated their terms and conditions at a certain point that somewhere in the fine print, it said that their images might be utilized or shared with other services and blah, 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 right? Not knowing that their art would make its way into an art or photography, would make its way into one of these large models so that it could generate art that looks like their art, right? Or has aspects of their art in it. I mean, literally, even with some of this art, like you can see the artist's signature that gets generated. Usually it's like sort of fuzzy and hard to read, but it's clear that someone, like usually the people, the reason that people put like their name on their art or their photography is because people want to know, other people to know like, hey, this is mine, you know? And, but all of this art, all of this content from the internet, all this photography, it all got sucked up into these models. And the, in most of the case, I think probably 99% of the case or more, these photographers and artists did not know that this there are would ever be used in this purpose, or even just text. You know, they didn't think that their articles or whatever would ever be used in this way. So there was no way to protect from it because people just didn't even expect for this to be a thing. And I mean, there's been massive websites that like host artists, art and photography, who've gotten massive pushback from their users because and large amount of their users have left these platforms. There's artists and photographers who don't upload art to the internet anymore because they don't want it to be used in these models for the purpose of generating new images. And there's no good way to guarantee that your art or photography is not going to be used in these unless you just don't put it online, which is really sad. I've seen artists who literally do not post online, you know, incredible talented people who just stopped posting things online because not only the concern of like, or knowledge that there's art has been basically stolen for these purposes, or, you know, at least used without their expressed permission. Or they also felt like they just couldn't compete with what this new technology was able to create, which is also really sad and also not true because the machine can never create the art without the artist creating the art first. It can never create the photography without the photographers taking the photos first. These image generation tools do not exist without human beings creating art and photography. Just like these chatbots, they do not exist without human beings creating this sort of digital footprint of all this conversations and that sort of thing. And so there is a great movie called Ex Machinima. It's an A24 movie, fantastic. It really does sort of explicitly, there's a scene that discusses this concept. So, slight spoiler, in case only be about, I don't know, 20 seconds or so. But basically, there's a scene where someone at one of these large search engine companies explains that all this data that their users have been using for a very long time has all been going into this thing to create artificial intelligence. It's basically like the thing, but really it's funny because like how true that scene was. It was like, unbeknownst to our users, we're taking all of their photos, we're taking all of their data. You know, any photo or any text that you put online potentially is going to make its way into these systems. And like I said, there's just no one expected it to be utilized in this way. But what I think is going to happen is human beings will make that adjustment. It's going to take some time for some of this stuff to play out in court. But I know that, I don't see anything wrong with an image generation tool or text generation tool where the content used to create the model is explicitly, where there's explicit permission to do so, right? So, like, and this is where I think these models will become interesting in the future, and I think the best business case for something like this, if I was going to start a business today about this in this industry, I would say, okay, we're going to create one of these chat tools or image generation tools, but we're going to explicitly get permission from sources in order to utilize these. What was the word I'm looking for? In order to build our models, right? And just like navigation software at one point, like if you had a GPS navigation system in your car, there was one point where some companies were licensing things like Homer Simpson. Like, so you could have Homer Simpson turn, you know, telling you to turn right or do a U-turn or whatever in your car, because the navigation company reached out to whoever owns the licensing for the Simpsons and explicitly got that permission to put that in your vehicle. And so I think that's going to be a very interesting thing. I think it's going to be a very hot sort of product where you can say, like, okay, well, we have this language model that's been trained on this specifically, like, you know, and artists should be compensated for their art, with artists and photographers, right? So if you say, okay, we have this image generation tool, and here are the photographers that we have, that we utilize in this tool. So, like, that is where this should go. I think anything that's legally allowed in the future should be done this way, where it explicitly is like, here is the, you know, here is who... here's the artist behind this, and they gave us express permission, and or, you know, we're paid, or we got permission or licensing in order to utilize their stuff, right? That's just what's not happening now. That's the missing piece now. That's why artists are pissed off, because it's, I would say clearly, it's like, the reason that theft is like in air quotes is like, is that it's taking their images and it's generating something new. It's not generating something exactly the same, but it generates something in the same sort of style, or it just takes parts of these things. So it, like, that gray area piece is, it is gray in a way because it's transformative, right? It is taking in images and it's transforming them. And if I was on the side of one of these companies, you know, you would argue that probably in court, and just, you know, this is all entertainment purposes only, but I would imagine you would sort of argue that piece. But in the past, the easiest way to sort of analogy would be, people with websites allowed search engines to crawl their website. They allowed search engines to go onto their websites, look at their photos, you know, grab the text, grab the photos, and they were okay with that because there was a benefit to someone who creates a website. You want visibility on the internet. Search engines is a way to do it. So you allowed large search engines to come in and crawl your website, you know, look at your website, take that information so that you could get in contact with your end customer, right? There was a direct benefit. And also, there was no transforming. You know, they weren't taking your text and changing it. They were just taking it and displaying it on a search page for users to find you. And it was a direct link also to the original source material, which in this case was your website. And that's not happening with this, these new tools. There's no direct links back to the original artists. No, and so the original artist, like, there's no benefit to the original artist at all. Like, it's just their stuff is being used to generate these images and generate this text, but there's no benefit. There's only benefit to these large companies like OpenAI and you know, Midjourney and things. And I think, you know, they have been charging customers to use their service. And I think that that's, you know, we'll see what happens. I think it's such popular, you know, it's such a popular thing that they're generating income off of it and everything else. And there's such large companies involved in this, pushing this technology. You know, Microsoft is doing it now. Google's doing it now. And it became something that they were hesitant to do. But once OpenAI really kind of, and I guess Midjourney sort of opened up the floodgates, it felt like Microsoft, Google, large companies were now incentivized to move into the space so that they weren't left behind. But I don't think that they've gone into it responsibly. You know, they just are sort of wild, wild westing their way through it knowing that there's like legal loopholes involved at the moment, which I don't think is the right approach. I think that there's a way to do it tastefully. And the other thing is if you do it, what I would say would be like very clear legal, maybe the word is more of ethical, is you would get express permission from the actual person who created the art or the text or whatever. And in doing so, it's a much more arduous process. It's a longer process. It's a more expensive process. And as a result, you're not going to have models that are as complicated or as just as good, right? You have less images in your model. Your models aren't going to, your end result images you create are not going to be as good, right? If you don't have enough text, then your text is not going to be that good. Like, you need a lot of data in order to make these things actually work well. But that should be the challenge, is companies creating content or licensing content and then competing on models, right? Like, this is, I think, the real opportunity. It's like, what I feel like we're experiencing right now is like Google and Microsoft and OpenAI and Midjourney have become the new Napster. Like, if you don't know what Napster is, it basically, like, before iTunes came about, like, there was a technology for people to share music and files over the internet. It was called Napster. And the technology was really great. It worked really well, but they didn't have permission from the artists to allow that sharing to occur. And I don't think that Napster charged their customers any money for their services, but I don't remember if that's really true or not, but I don't think that they did. But that click, like, once iTunes, the reason that iTunes was so great is that it allowed for a store for people to have the same sort of technological experience, which was to easily download songs, music from your favorite artists. But there was a legal way to do it where you could charge your customers, and where customers could pay and feel good that the money was going at least in part to supporting the artists. And as soon as that mechanism was in place, like, you know, I mean, Napster was basically done. There still is some file sharing technology out there, but I think it's very, like, most users don't use that type of thing. They use the legal route, which is like an iTunes, or Amazon has their own distribution platform now for digital music and movies and things. You know, all the streaming services and everything else are all as a result of, like, having a technological solution that trumped the original solution, which was a gray area. Most people would call it illegal or theft, quotes, technology. And I feel like that's where we're at now with GPT and LLM. The thing that's different about it, though, is it's not some new company like Napster trying to put this technology out there, you know, like a one guy or a handful of guys like trying to do this. It's massive corporations taking this on and utilizing this technology, and charging for it, which I think is really the thing that's the most concerning. Like, they're making money off of this now, whereas before it seems like this would be a clear case of, like, theft and you'd be in the courts. But I think the difference in this case is that with music was sort of already centralized. Record companies all sort of had their catalogs of music for their artists, and so they were able to sort of push their weight in order to change the legislation necessary to make it clear that, you know, using services like Napster was, like, not okay. Plus, they were able to put on all of their products. Like, if you got a DVD, or if you go out and buy a DVD from like the early 2000s, you'll likely see some sort of ad at the beginning of the DVD that says, like, you know, something like, downloading songs is not a victimless crime, and, you know, stuff like that. So they could kind of get the message out there that this was not, they didn't consider this to be acceptable. But in this case, there's no large companies who represent these artists. There's no sort of music business around art in the same way. And the closest thing that people had was these websites that would hosting art for artists. And instead of defending the artists, these companies have all, well, at least the main ones, have seemed to have basically embraced the technology and essentially thrown their literal artists under the bus and allowed these companies to take their art. So, which I think is a massive mistake. And also just a massive lost opportunity. I think it's going to take longer for the law, you know, the sort of smaller artists to fight back against this. But I think at the end of the day, what's going to occur is, you know, if justice prevails, kind of a thing, is a sort of same result, and these companies will be forced to pay for, especially the companies who are charging for these type of services, like, you know, to be using someone's art explicitly, like you're literally taking their image, putting it into your software, and in order to make other images and charging people for it, like you are taking that art. You know, if you did not take that art, your technology wouldn't work the same. So, you know, I'm curious at how this is going to play out. I like the technology, I like the underlying technology, but if this was done on the up and up, if it was done in what I believe to be an ethical way, we wouldn't see the technology be working as well, because it wouldn't have nearly enough data, i.e. people's images or text, to work as well as it currently does. Right? It's like, I rather would see one of these companies pop up where the resulting images created or resulting text created is good, but the images and text was ethically sourced, right? And that there's some mechanism of compensation for the artist. Like, that's what's missing. So that my way sort of saying about an opportunity, I think the real opportunity in the AI space to link artists to models where they can then charge for the models. It's like, if the artists are generating the models and charging for those models, there's no problem. But that's not how things went down. That's not how things are happening right now. And I'm not talking to this from an ignorant standpoint. I went to the point of like, creating a fake like AI influencer person on Instagram, you know, like creating the images and posting them to where it's like you can hardly tell if it's a real human being or not. Like, I went through the process to really, really understand as well as I could how this technology is working. And what I saw was that basically there's some websites that host art. Well, they don't host art. Well, technically they host art, but they host these models that people can download that they can use to create the art. And it's clear that there is no explicit recognition of the source material. Right? Like, the models that are being used on the internet, whether it's large corporations or whether it's like models you download from a website and to use in like a local program like Stable Diffusion, God knows what images are being used and where the images came from. You just don't know. I haven't seen anybody say like, here's a model that's been we used, and so I think everybody's jumping into the space and going like, oh, how do I create an artificial girlfriend, or how do I create a chat bot, or how to create some image generation tool, or how can I get into like AI video creation, or how can I utilize AI to write a book or do this and the other thing? And I think that the real solution, the real opportunity, is how do I build a tool that connects artists explicitly to compensation for creating models. That's the solution. That's where it's at. And until then, what I believe we're seeing is theft, air quotes, mostly.